Hello, my name's Kate Rolls and I'm interviewing you for the Wellcome Trust as you're taking part in Anthony Gormley's new artwork, One and Other. The date today is the 15th of August 2009 and the time is 2:15 a.m. If I can please ask you to state your full name, your date of birth and where you come from.
My name's Jo Roach, my date of birth is the 27th of July 1976 and I live in London.
Lovely. How are you today, Jo?
I'm quite tired because it's quite late.
Yeah.
But I'm very good.
Good. And what was it that motivated you to take part in One Another?
Well, I first encountered it through Twitter, actually. And I signed up and then I didn't hear anything more about it. And then a friend who works with a theatre company asked me if I wanted to be on the reserve list, which I did. So that's how I found it.
Great. And when you found out that you had got a place on the plinth, how did you decide how to use your hour up there?
When we were talking about going on the reserve list, I said immediately, if I go on the reserve list and get on to the plinth, I'm going to dress as a ninja. And I thought, it's never going to happen. And so when I got the call today, I thought, well, I have to do it. So that's what I'm going to do.
Dress up as a what, sorry?
A ninja.
A ninja, okay. And why did you make that decision?
Because that's my nickname. A lot of people call me Ninja, particularly the people that I work with.
And where did that nickname come from?
I have no idea. You'd have to ask them. I don't know why they call me it, but they do. Maybe it's something to do with the way that I move around.
Okay. And so you're going to dress up as a ninja?
So I'm going to dress as a ninja, which is quite good because it gives me some level of anonymity as well. And I'm going to take a little rocking chair onto the plinth and I'm going to knit a blue scarf.
And why are you going to do this?
Because I've just started making films and the film that I'm making is all about knitting. And I'm basically following a group of knitters, a knitting circle in London, and they're really fascinating because they are like a snapshot of every type of person you get in London. They're amazing, they're really lovely people, and I've been following them for about 3 weeks, and they have, as an exchange, because I'm filming them nearly every day, they said to me, well, you have to learn to knit and crochet. So I thought, what's the one thing that I can do on the plinth that will kind of keep me occupied and mean that I can still look around and take it all in? And I thought, knitting's perfect. So I was at the knitting circle last night. There's a very nice, I think she's Ethiopian lady, Muslim lady, and she was teaching me how to knit, and she helped me to knit about 7 rows. And so I thought, I'll bring that down with me and carry on knitting it.
And can you describe the knitting circle for me in the community there?
It's really funny because with knitting it was very popular for a while and then it wasn't popular at all. It really went out of fashion, just in this country, not so much anywhere else. And now it's really back in fashion. And so you have this strange mixture of the older people. So the oldest person there last night was 77. And then the youngest person there last night was 19. And so you seem to have these slight extremes where you have the ones and the younger ones. And I mean, you do have them in the middle, but you can tell that there's a slight separation. And you have every age, every colour, every background, which is really interesting for London because just last night there were American girls, Canadian, English, Ethiopian. What else did we have? I'm not sure of some of the nationalities of them, but you know, people from all over the world sitting there. The thing that's really fascinating is you have these people who, we were saying last night, if you took those 20 people and put them in a tube carriage, they would never speak to each other. You put them in a knitting circle and they have the most incredible conversations. Mm. They go from talking about the EU, you know, the benefits of the EU, to talking about Joseph Fritzl, to talking about someone's hip replacement or husband. It's really micro, and then it becomes really global, it's really interesting.
And where is the knitting community based, and what are they called if they have a name?
There's a little street just behind Waterloo train station called Lower Marsh Street, which is really sweet. It's very, lots of independent shops. It's just down there. And the shop is called iKnit, and the knitting circle is called iKnit.
And you're making a film about them. How did you come to be in this position?
To make the film? I've been a producer for about 10 years, and I've produced all kinds of things, websites, mobile phone applications, games, music, TV, loads of different things. And actually, one of the projects that I've just finished was a Wellcome Trust project, funnily enough. And I hadn't really done anything narrative-led, so I've taken 3 months out of my schedule. I'm doing some jobs to keep me going, but I've taken that time to retrain and just learn to direct film, which is a huge luxury, but it's absolutely fantastic. I think it's really important to keep training yourself. Whatever level you're at, there's always something else to learn to do better.
And what made you take this decision to go into film?
I think that narrative storytelling is really difficult, and it's something that not many people can do very well. And my approach to training myself has quite often been just teach myself and work out how to do it myself. But I really felt like with documentary and with telling stories about people, you really have to learn it in the same way that you learn, more complex things. You have to learn how to get stories from people, and you have to learn how to tell them gracefully, I think, and in a way that will keep people, engaged with it. And we did, I have done a little bit of that, but I didn't feel I'd done it well. So that's why I thought I need to learn to do this properly.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been doing it for six weeks with amazing filmmakers that they bring in, that tutor us and mentor us and look at our rushes and talk about their style. And I've watched endless films in that time as well, and within the first few days I just thought, this is fantastic, I'm so pleased that I'm doing it.
Mm-hmm. And is there an institution that you're training through?
Yeah, I'm training at the National Film and TV School, which is out in Beaconsfield, just outside London. And it's got a really interesting history, because it used to be a TV, big sort of TV studio, big warehouse, and then it's become more and more formal, and it has lots of different funding partners now. And it has everything from composing, MA in composing, to cinematography, documentary, animation. So it's a really nice place.
Brilliant. Thank you for telling us about that and about your motivations for taking part in the project and your recent work. I wonder if you could say a little bit more about your, if we could go back a little bit further in your story, and you could perhaps take me through the beginning, really, I suppose, where you come from, and move forwards that way.
Okay. I grew up in a town in the north called Scunthorpe. I lived there until I was 18, and then I left and moved to London to go to university. And then I was at university in London for 3 years, and working in London, made some really nice friends. And then I have worked in London since then. So I started off working in music, and then I moved into sort of technology companies and then broadcast companies. And I've moved all around London. So I started in South London, and then I moved to North London, and then East London. And actually, I've never lived in West London.
Okay.
And that's what got me here.
And what did you study when you went to university?
I studied media and social science, a Bachelor of Science, and it was part practical, part theory. So it was about 35% actually hands-on production, learning to make a radio show, a TV show, and with my A-levels I studied English literature and media and art and design. And actually I wanted to study Russian. I started studying Russian, but unfortunately it's very hard to get a Russian teacher in Thorpe. And the one Russian teacher that they did have stopped teaching, so I had to drop that. But I was really fond of languages.
Yeah. And what's your sort of main interests now in terms of, I suppose, in terms of subject matter? With your, I suppose, with the kind of work that you're looking at, and the subject matter that you're hoping to deal with in your filmmaking.
I'm really interested in making factual entertainment, and very interested in character-led documentaries, and I think that's what I will start to do. But I definitely won't leave behind my roots, which is being a geek and creating games and websites. I think I'll find a way of... I'm really interested in new formats, and particularly in the education sector. So I think I've always made things for young people, for teenagers, for a kind of 15 to 24 year olds, and I think that's what I'll continue to do. Yeah.
And how about outside of work? What are your interests or passions?
They're kind of similar to in work. So I like making things, and I've always liked making things. So at the moment, I'm really into upholstery, into upholstering chairs. I'm upholstering 5 chairs at the moment. I like making everything. I like I'm really into fabrics at the moment, and creating cushion covers, and I'm obviously really getting into the knitting as well, and doing quite a lot of... I did a really interesting interview yesterday with a woman who prescribes knitting for therapy, and she was talking a lot about how knitting is really helpful for people with chronic pain disorders or addictions or things like that. So I'm starting to find that really fascinating. I think I'm going to read more about that.
And what about your own personal beliefs or politics in a way? Do you have any sort of persuasions in those areas?
I'm very liberal, very liberal and very open-minded. I suppose I've had the luxury to be that way because I had a very good upbringing, and I've been very lucky to always be employed and have enough money to kind of be liberal. But I think it's a good way to live, to be open and to be tolerant and to not be too hardline on anything, because you can always change your mind about things.
What experiences would they have really shaped you as a person, as who you are now?
That's difficult. I think probably my upbringing has shaped who I am to a large degree. So I think growing up somewhere, the place where I grew up was very industrial. It was very working class, and people were really down to earth. It's a very genuine place, and I think that has definitely made me who I am. I like that in other people, and I think that the approach that my parents had, which is they were both and were and are really hardworking. One of the things that they really instilled in me was that you must take responsibility for your actions, and whatever you do, go and enjoy yourself and do whatever you want to do, but don't hurt other people. And that has kind of stayed with me always.
Fantastic. And who are your parents? Would you like to say a little bit about them?
Yeah, my mum is called Maria. She is Italian. She moved from Italy when she was 16, a little town in Italy, to Scunthorpe, which must have been a bit of a shock. And then my dad, she's just retired about 2 years ago. She turned 60 2 years ago. She's just gone part-time. She's 62. My dad was born and raised in Scunthorpe. He is brilliant, and he still lives there now.
Would you like to say anything about your family history? Do you know much about that in terms of your ancestry or where your family comes
not
from?
Not too much. I mean, I only know the things that are kind of word of mouth. So the Italian side, I think there is some Greek ancestry there as well. They're from that side of the family originate from a region in southern Italy, which is actually quite poor, which is mostly landowners. And speaking to my grandparents, the family tree actually doesn't go back very far, because it traces back to an orphan who was given the surname by the nuns in a convent. So he was taken in and raised, and then apparently this is, I mean, I don't know if this is true or not, but this is what I've heard. When that happens and the orphan kind of leaves when they're sort of 16 or 17 or whatever, they're given a name, and he was given a name. And with the British side, we have traced it back to sort of the late 17th century. And the name Roach, they traced it all the way back down to sort of Cornwall. Then they couldn't work out if the name came from Ireland or if it came from France, because it could have been Roche or Roach. So that's kind of as far as they got, really.
Okay. And today you're going to be standing on the 4th plinth. Who are you doing that for?
I'm doing it for me. I'm kind of doing it for my friends as well. And I'm not taking it too seriously. I just think I'm going to go do it, and it's going to be fun. I think it's going to be amazing to see Trafalgar Square from the top of that plinth. And I remember about 13 years ago, I was editing a magazine, and the whole of the magazine crew, we'd all said, we're going to scale the plinth and we're going to get on top of it and we're going to take a picture of ourselves. And then I came down with one of the girls, and it had razor wire all the way around it, and we were like, I don't think that's going to work. So it's really funny, I'd forgotten this until today. Now I think it's really funny that eventually I get to go and stand on it.
And does that have much significance, the site that it's Trafalgar Square? And having lived in London for some time now, you have a relationship already with the square?
I think if I hadn't lived in London, I'd probably be quite nervous, but London feels like home to me now, and you know, I've parked my car around the corner and I live 15 minutes up the road, so it's not, I probably will be slightly nervous when I go up there, but it's not that much of a big deal. But it's going to be really nice, and I'm really glad that it is the middle of the night, because I think that feels slightly more kind of a bit more anonymous than standing there in the middle of the day with all the tourists standing around you. And it feels a bit more like my London, the nighttime London, than the daytime, because the daytime there are so many people that it feels less like mine.
And moving forwards now from today and from your experience here, what's important to you in your life, kind of in general? What sort of hopes or ambitions do you have for your future?
I'm really happy doing the things that I'm doing, and I want to be able to carry on doing them. And I've got a great family and great friends, and I'd like to make sure that they stay around, and if I can do those things, then I'm perfectly happy.
Brilliant. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.